All right, if you have your Bibles, we're in John chapter 16 right now, working our way through John 16 and John 17 on our way to Easter and preparing for all of that. So last week we started in really what I didn't plan at the beginning, but became a part one and part two of this whole idea of the Holy Spirit, which again is all part of this idea of John 13 through 17, everything that Jesus is teaching. One of the things he wants to make sure they understand is that it's their advantage that the Holy Spirit come, because he's going to come with the power they so desperately need. And so that's one of the key elements in this whole sermon at the end between John 13 and John 17. And last week was all about cultivating a heart of obedience to the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Our job is, how are we going to respond to that? Are we either going to repent, or are we going to say, nah, I'm not going to do it. I like the way I'm going. I like how things are going. And I'm just going to be stuck in that way and doing those things. So please, just like remember that. We have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. All of a Christian's life, Martin Luther said, is one of repentance. What is my reaction to Scripture showing me something about my life that isn't lining up to what God says? Is my response to repent and say, okay, I'm wrong, God's right, or I don't know. A lot of people I know are doing that, right? Everybody else is doing that, right? I think I'm doing fine. And we just kind of dig in to doing things our own way instead of repentance. And heart should be to cultivate that kind of heart of obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's the first part of what he wants to teach them about the Holy Spirit. Here comes the second part. And the second part is in verses 12 through 16. So I want to look at this morning, and it's this whole idea of being led and guided into truth. So here we go. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I just can't tell you everything now. In fact, at the end of John says, we can't even hold all that Jesus wrote. I mean, it's just too much. Jesus is like, no, that's just too much. One of the things they talk about, I've been at conferences before, and they'll tell you the same thing. I know we're giving you lots of information. It's like you're drinking from a fire hose, right? That's just like the illustration. Jesus is like, not doing that to you. Not going to just give you all this stuff, okay? You can't hang on to everything. You can't bear everything. You can't understand everything right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. He doesn't come saying his own thing. He doesn't speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority of God. Now, this is going to be really important, this whole idea of Spirit of truth and guide you into all truth. That's going to be really important for them. And I want to let you know, the applications for them are going to be different than us, because we are on the other side of the cross. We are on the other side of having Scripture, but we're going to see how important this is. But we'll speak. What's the Holy Spirit going to speak? Whatever he hears, and will tell you what is to come. In fact, John uses this exact language. He says, Jesus says the same thing to him in Revelation chapter 1. Okay? I've going to show you what is to come. Okay, it's like the same quote, same exact phrase. John's like, oh yeah, I remember that. That's what you said in the upper room. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to tell us what's to come, and here we are telling us what is to come. He will glorify me because he will receive from me what is mine and will tell it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what is mine and will tell it to you. In a little while, and this gets in the next part that we'll be in next week, in a little while you will see me no longer again, and a little while you will see me. He's trying to set up, hey, I'm going to be arrested, I am going to be put to death, and I will rise again, right? And they're all going, what? We'll see you for a little bit, and what? But we'll focus a little bit more on that next week. What I want to talk about this whole idea this morning is that the Holy Spirit guides us into and talk about this, and help us understand how really important it is. Before I get into the application, I want to kind of lead you into another passage, okay? A couple. In the Old Testament, David writes this. And I want you to see why he's going to point out something and what happens later in the Gospel of John. Into your hand I entrust my life, and you will rescue me, O Lord, the faithful God. Okay? Do you know this is a name for God? Just like we read in other passages, El Shaddai is the mighty God. This is a term for God, okay? And it is El Emet. El Emet is the faithful God, the God of truth. That's how they would have said it, okay? Here's Jesus saying the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide you in all truth, and he is pointing them back to this idea of El Emet, the God of truth, the faithful God of truth. It's the whole truth. It's the beginning, the middle, the end. Now, what do I mean by that? So this word Emet, this Hebrew word is made up of three letters, okay? And in the Hebrew alphabet, it's really different. I haven't studied much Hebrew. I have enough problems with English. Anybody else? Right. That's what I thought about Greek. I was like, are you kidding me? Right. There's enough. But there are some really amazing things that God did with this language. One of them is this word for truth, the word emet. It's made up of three letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And you know what letters they are? They are the first, they are the middle, and they are the last. Because God is truth, and it's the whole truth. It is the beginning, it is the middle, and it is the end. It's all truth. And they would have understood this. They would have looked and they would have talked about this. And we're going to get into a little bit later about the application this has for us. It's the whole truth. It's not part. All of it is God's. The beginning, the middle, the end. That's how they understood truth. Now, take that idea. Take that concept. He is El Emet. He is the God of truth. Jesus has this very, very interesting back and forth between Pilate. You find in John chapter 18, I'm just going to show you two of these verses, verses 37 and 38, okay, where Jesus is going to say something amazing to Pilate, and Pilate's going to miss it. That's really what happens. Commentators are going to say Jesus gets mocked by Pilate here, maybe. I think they're missing each other because he's missing something here. So look at this with me, if you will. For this reason, Jesus says, I was born. And for this reason, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Wow, this is powerful, okay? He is going to before Pilate because Pilate's like, I'm big bad Pilate, right? I can do whatever I want. I can free you. And Jesus just looks at him and says, you'd have no authority if my father didn't give you any, right? And I'm sure he's like, what? Nobody's ever said that to me, right? I'm Pilate. I'm given all the authority by Caesar to run this place and do what right. And so it starts this conversation with Jesus. And he says, by the way, I want you to know, for this reason I was born, for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone, this is really important, everyone who belongs to the truth, and this is kind of a play on words that Jesus is doing here. Belongs is really the word exists, but that would be really anyone who exists to the, what? That's just weird. This is a weird place, and it's weird what Jesus is doing here. He's basically identifying himself, I am El Emet, the truth. That's what he's doing. So everyone who belongs to the truth. So in John 14, they already heard this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They already heard that. But Pilate's never heard this. And he says, do you understand, Pilate? Everyone who belongs to the truth, he would have been like, what? Listens to my voice. Everyone who decides the truth's importance, the truth is not just this abstract thing. He's saying, I am El Emet. I am the truth. Which Pilate, do you know what he says after that? What is truth? See, I think they're just over the years, and he's thinking, okay, I got to figure out truth. And Jesus is like, truth is standing right in front of you, and you're missing him the whole time. We don't just believe in the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is El Emet. He is the God of truth. That's going to be really important because it isn't just something I believe. It is who Jesus is. It is who he is and who he asks us to follow. Okay? Jesus is the truth. He is El Emet. That is his point. Because Pilate, you're looking for some abstract thing. You're trying to figure out some theory. I am truth. I am truth. Now, later on, don't know if there are historical records out there that said Pilate's questioned very much. That exchange with Jesus did some things. That when the grave was empty, that did some things to Pilate. Because he had to hear the official reports. He couldn't believe the lies. And the official report was, hey, something happened, okay, that was beyond any explanation, and he's not there. I don't know what we're going to do about that. The Jewish people wanted to cover it up, lie about it. And so that exchange of faith did everything to Pilate to go, oh, I'm looking for this thing called the truth. And you're saying, you are the truth. And when I follow you, when you are my Lord, that is when I know truth. And that is when I follow truth. So, first of all, what did it mean to them? What did it mean to those in the upper room that night? To those with Jesus, when he is telling them, I will guide you into all truth. Because I want to give you a couple specifics here, and then I want to talk about generally, what does this mean for us? When he says, the Spirit of truth come, and he's going to guide us into all truth. Let me give you a verse out of Acts. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they discovered, and these are really important words, that they were uneducated. That doesn't mean they were illiterate, okay? But they were uneducated. They're standing before all these rabbis, and these guys are like, you didn't go to our school. Where's your diploma? Where's your degree? Well, you didn't make it, right? That's what they're discovering about them, okay? That they're all sitting there with all their degrees hanging on the wall, and here's Peter and John, and they're like, this shouldn't be, okay? You shouldn't know scripture this well. Okay, you shouldn't know Torah this well. You shouldn't be able to defend things this well. You shouldn't have this kind of boldness. They discovered that they were uneducated and ordinary men. They're like, you know, in other words, can we go to your office and see what's hanging on the wall? No, we're not rabbis. You know what they discovered? They were amazed and recognized these men had been with Jesus. This is one of those fulfillments. He's going to guide you and lead you in all truth. And they're standing there before these guys who thought they knew everything about the Torah, everything about the Old Testament. And they're standing there, two guys who didn't make it to their schools, okay, who didn't make it, didn't pass it, that weren't allowed to carry on, were told, you know, you don't have much, okay? And here they are, and they know this better than they do. And they're like, what is going on? That's a fulfillment of that promise. They're led and they're guided into knowing the truth. And so much so that the men who had studied it for years are absolutely amazed and says, well, all we know is they've been with Jesus. That's what that we know. They've been with Jesus. And I know sometimes in our day and age, we put a lot of credence into where somebody went, how many degrees, right? And these guys sit there and they write books and they got more degrees than Fahrenheit and it's amazing, right? Look at these guys. Aren't these brilliant, right? And they went to all the big schools and they have no idea sometimes because the Spirit of truth does not live in them, does not guide them, does not direct their lives. And why sometimes it's amazing what God does with people who are just obedient to do what he asks them to do. The second one, there's several places I got to go. I went here because I love the word here. Every scripture is inspired. The word also could be God-breathed, okay? Is inspired by God or is God-breathed? This is 2 Timothy 3:16, okay? Do you know how we got most of the New Testament? This promise right here. This promise, right? He's going to guide you into all truth, okay? Every scripture is God-breathed. That word that we kind of put in inspired just means this Spirit of God guides and directs to record everything that we have, which is Scripture. It's amazing. Okay? That's a fulfillment of that promise, that they were guided and directed. So we have this today, and we know that promise was fulfilled to them that night when Jesus said, hey, you know what's going to happen? The Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. But what does this mean for us? Because we can sit around and go, wow, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. That's scripture because God keeps his promise. God breathed. The Holy Spirit worked. We have the scripture we do. Well, that's great. But I guess that's just for them. No, it's not. No, it's not. In fact, let me just help us for the next few moments. What does this mean for us? This promise of Jesus, that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. First, we have to be guided. We have to be guided. We have to be guided. Do you know why? A couple of things. Number one, explaining spiritualities with Spirit-taught words. That's 1 Corinthians 2:13. If you are not asking God to open your eyes, Holy Spirit, help me, you're going to have problems. You're going to be like, I don't understand this passage. And there's a lot of times. This is why I think this word is amazing. This word is amazing. Why? Why? It is so cool when you get people together and you sit down and you're reading and studying the word and everybody's praying that prayer. Hey God, and you're like, how did you see that? That's really cool. How did you recognize that? That's all do you understand? That is all I ask God to do every week. Show me your word. Teach me your word that we may learn together and be guided into all truth. If you think I'm the only one who can do this, you have not understood scripture at all, okay? If we're going to be able to explain spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words, we have to let the Spirit teach us. And if you are not praying, help me understand your word. And then you open it up that day and read. If you're not doing it, you are missing the illumination of the Holy Spirit, who loves to do that. And loves to say, watch me turn the light on. You're like, oh, I never knew it said that. That's amazing. I never knew that was in there. That's incredible. And you will find God is so faithful to answer that prayer. That you don't have to be scared of this book. Oh, I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to be struck dead right now. No. That all you have to do is be faithful to open it up. Holy Spirit, help me understand it. And begin to read. And begin to read. And allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of lighting it up for you. That you would understand what the scriptures say. Can I tell you why we also have to be guided? Here's one of many places. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with its practices. In all the things you taught your kids, you did not have to teach them how to lie. Right? When was that? Hey kids, you're three today. Do you know what that means? You can learn how to lie. This is going to be a great day, okay? No. Never has to be taught. Why? Because it's in within us. It's innate. It is a practice of the old man, and is why we default to it so often. We default to it when we're scared. We default to it when we don't know what to do. We default to it when we got to try to get ourselves out of things. That's why we default to it. Why do you think we have to be guided in the truth? Because left alone of myself, I won't choose the truth. I'll choose something that's convenient for me in that moment. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to be led the wrong way. We have to understand that. Our default mechanism is to lie. And he says, don't lie to one another. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, I know there are those few cases in Scripture, right? Because God ordained it. So I'm going to tell you when it's okay to lie. If you're saving a baby from getting thrown into the Nile River to die, it's okay to lie, okay? There you go. There's one. Number two, if spies are invading your land from God, okay, as they were for Rahab, you can lie and say they're not really in your house, okay? I'm telling you, there's a few, right? If you're hiding a Jew from a Nazi, you're allowed to lie, okay? See, there's very few. We love to point those out, I think, at times because we're like, see, God loves lying. Yeah. Yeah, and I came up with three, okay? There's probably not a whole lot more, okay? Yes, there are moments. There are moments where the sovereignty and the will of God is greater than what man is trying to do in destroying somebody. So, don't depend on that. I'm just going to tell you, our default is to lie. You want to ruin your marriage? Just keep lying, okay? You want to ruin trust with each other? Just keep lying. You want to ruin it? kids, with your parents, keep lying. Just keep lying, okay? Because at some point, you're going to want keys. And they're going to go, why would I? Yeah, I know, we put like 360 on them, we follow them everywhere, okay? But in reality, why? There's been no trust built up. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Trust is easily lost. It takes a long time to build and gain. And I just wanted you to know, your default mechanism, my default mechanism is to lie unless I'm going to be guided by the Holy Spirit into truth. Think about, for a moment, the last decision you made. The last decision you made. Big decision, okay? Big decision you made, okay? I want you to think about that. I don't know what it could be. You bought a car. I don't know. I could throw out a bunch of different ones out there. I won't for a moment. Just I want you to think about the last big decision you made. If you got one in your mind, here we go. Did you pray about it? Did you read scripture? Or did you decide by how you felt? Because most of us are honest, it's number three. I don't know. I felt good about it. We have been sold in our culture that we live by how we feel. We make decisions by how we feel. And I'm telling you that there's a surefire recipe for messing things up. Your feelings will lie to you. They just will. They just will. When Eve saw the fruit, I'm sure she felt it was good. It looked good. Man, it was, that's what happens. And yet we've been inclined all the time. The phrase we joke about in our house the most, okay, and yeah, it's mostly when Stephen was around. It's just a phrase that's in every Hallmark movie, follow your heart, because that's what it's a call to. Decide by how you feel. Decide by how you feel. And I'm telling you, we have to be guided differently than that. If we are serious about following Jesus, we have to decide differently than that. Number two, there's a phrase that Augustine used, that all truth is God's truth. I like the way that John Piper took that and said this. All truth exists to display more of God and awaken more love for God. I don't know where we left that as a culture, but we've so compartmentalized everything that we have a compartment that says, okay, well, here's the Bible, and it has truth, so I'm going to follow its truth. And we don't think there's a truth in science, and there are truths that are there to follow, okay? But do you know that truth exists to display more of God and awaken more love of God? Nope, nobody ever told you that, did they? See, your math teacher didn't tell you that's why 2 plus 2 equals 4, okay? That it would, that our logical order of even truths like mathematics exists to display more of God and awaken more love for God. Nobody's ever told us that, because we've just compartmentalized it into, here it is, here's God's truth. It's all contained right here, and nothing outside of it is that, and I don't know how I live, because so we start making all sorts of decisions on things being secular and sacred, and we miss this, that all truth exists to display more of God and awaken more love for God. That's why it exists. It's all His truth. It is all His truth. It isn't just separated out. The God who put everything into order, guess what? He also created laws that govern that. And that's why Isaac Newton discovered laws. Why? Because all truth exists to display more of God and awaken more love for God. But when's the last time we ever thought about our world that way? Probably because there's just so much of a leaving of the truth, and we've done a lot of that leaving. And I'm telling you, it's about time we recognize that all truth exists to display more of God and awaken more love for Him. The last thing I'll say is this. Do you realize that the rejection of God is why truth is rejected in our culture? when the Greeks would talk about truth, and so you got the writers of Scripture trying to carry some of that over. Most of the time, the word just gets translated truth. But do you know the other part it means? It means reality. Isn't that interesting? We got a lot of denying of, we got a lot of fake stuff in our world. A lot of fake stuff. Just more and more. It's just fake. It isn't real. And so we miss who God is, and we reject him because we reject his truth. We reject who he is. We reject the reality he's given. And they can't do anything. I'm just going to tell you, they can't do anything without wine. I remember when Stephen, here's my fun Stephen story for the day. We went to the World Golf Hall of Fame because all vacations, right, where you can get Stephen to go, have to center around golf. That's the way it goes. So we went to the World Golf Hall of Fame because he wanted to see the statue. Most of you have never heard it, of a kid called Francis Ouimet who won the U.S. Open back in, I don't know, the early 1900s, okay? And so a movie's done by it. Stephen's like, this is great. We're going to watch the movie. Except, can I tell you what to watch for the next time you're watching the movie and you're like, ooh, it's a true story. It's going to be great. Look for the word B-A-S-E-T, based on the story. Because they undoubtedly take every story and go, you know, it would be better, okay? It would be better. And we just go back and we change it. We change the whole score of something. Because, gosh, it would just be more tense and it would be fun. And it would make a great movie if we didn't know if he really wins in the end. When the whole time in that shootout in the final, he just kills him, okay? But that would make a terrible movie. So we're going to base it on a true story and we're going to change some stuff to make it better. Everything is that way. Everything is that way. And we just keep living in a culture that rejects reality over and over and over again. And you need to understand they are ultimately rejecting God, what God has created, what God has put together. So, I know there's a lot this morning. Following Jesus means we are people of the truth because Jesus is the truth. He is El Amet, the God of truth. He is El Amet, the God of truth. And if he is telling us something, he is doing it out of his love and compassion for us, telling us the truth, telling us what is real, urging us don't buy into the fake and the lies that are all around us, that a lot of people just buy into over and over again, and a lot of it based on, well, that's how I feel. And it just missed who Jesus is and what he has come to do. So I would just like for us to renew ourselves fresh today. If you are a follower of Jesus, that means we are people of the truth. We don't get to make it up. We don't get to change it. We don't get to rip out sections of Scripture we don't like. I know there's guys who think they're so smart. I watched one the other day, watch Sam Harris destroy the Bible in 5 minutes, and I'm watching after 5 minutes and go, what did he do? Okay? But he's so smart. He's so clever. He writes so many books. Okay? No, he isn't. He's rejected truth. He's rejected who God is. He's rejected him. And we just forget, we're people of the truth. The truth is good. The truth brings life. It isn't bad. It isn't going to mess your life up. It's actually going to give you the most abundant life you could have if you would just follow who Jesus is, that he is the truth, and that he has so much in store for us. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to worship the Lord one more time. Father, I want to acknowledge this morning it's very hard living in a world where everything has been relegated to how we feel. And we've taken a lot of truth and reality and we've thrown it out in the name of feelings. And in doing so, we have brought a lot of pain we have brought a lot of hurts and a lot of destruction. Paul wrote so in Romans when he said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We would read that and say, welcome to 2024. It's all been exchanged. And yet you have told us we are, if we follow you, we are people of the truth. We are people of the God of truth. Jesus, you came to testify that you are truth. May we follow that no matter what gets said, brought up, confirmed, and believed in our culture. We hold Jesus to following you, that you are truth. There is no reality apart from you, but a fake reality that is of the evil one. Guide us, direct us, lead us. Because on our own, we will believe lies, we will follow lies, we will tell lies. We want to be people of the truth. Honor with our words and our life, Jesus, we pray this in your name.